Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna, and we're talking about handling criticism as a leader. I believe a few podcasts ago, we spoke about conflict in leadership. What is the difference between conflict and criticism? Because if I'm being criticized, I might see that as a conflict.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of an apples and oranges thing. I think they can be very close. But like, I would say a criticism can be the start of a conflict, but we don't have to think about criticism. Criticism doesn't have to lead to a conflict.
Okay. So how would you define it in this context that we're talking about today?
Criticism is just that someone has something that they don't like, that it doesn't seem right, it isn't theologically correct. There's just something that you're doing that in their opinion, and it's their opinion, could be better. That's criticism.
And it doesn't have to be a negative, right? Like,
no.
You can give me some feedback that's a little bit critical, but it doesn't mean that that's something that's meant to hurt me.
Yeah.
It can also make me a little bit better.
Yeah, I think criticism is very much, at some level, I get to decide if it's criticism or not, and it's not always consistent. Like, what is the difference from feedback and criticism? It's really how I receive it. Like, I can be giving you feedback and you can be like, you're being critical, right? Like you kind of, when you receive it, you get to decide if it's feedback or criticism. You get to decide if you take it as feedback or if you turn it into a conflict. Like, I think that all of that is kind of on you, but then it's also for us as leaders, is also on us to make sure it's received correctly and not as, hey, let's go and fight.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. So why is criticism so hard to receive, especially for leaders?
Yeah, I think we all have this assumption about ourselves that we are someone, that we're accomplishing something. And, you know, it can be negative or positive based on the day. And even when we're in a negative space and we receive criticism, it hurts because it farther emphasizes that I'm not good enough. And so sometimes I think, so I guess in a way, like when we're, and this is extremes, but when I'm high and flying, it's a great day. When you come in with criticism, sometimes that can pop my balloon. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm in a negative place, you can come in with the criticism and that just piles on. And so I think it's really because of our emotions, criticism is so hard. And because ultimately, and here's the thing I'm just going to call out. We'll come back to this, I'm sure, later. But whenever you receive criticism harshly, it is a sign that your identity is not in Christ the way it needs to be, right? Like, I think that's the greatest thing. Like, if criticism hurts, so you tell me that was a horrible sermon, right? It's probably going to pop me or crush me a little bit, but like, at some level, it hurts me not because I just want to do well, but because I get some identity and value from preaching well. And by saying that, you just kind of crushed me. And so I think if we take it as, if we're spiritually aware of where we're walking with Jesus, at some level, the first thing we could do when criticism hurts is just say, God, I'm sorry I put too much value in my preaching.
Which goes back to our last episode on humility.
Yeah.
That really ties together
it
well.
Is.
How do you know when criticism is constructive versus deconstructive? Like we talked about a minute ago, There's times where that criticism can help me to be a better leader. Mm-hmm. It can give me some of the feedback that I need to maybe work on some things within myself. But there's also the deconstructive, where it can just wreck me or cause me to loop or whatever.
So, I mean, I got a hot take that I think sometimes we say, well, that was positive feedback or that was criticism. I'm going to say that's on you, not on the person giving it to you, like at some level as a leader. Because like we can say, well, you did a great job. That was positive feedback. And then somebody else comes in and says, well, that was pretty negative criticism. Right? I'm going to say that's on you because I think there's a sliver of truth in everything anybody says to you.
Okay, wait, camp there for a second. Say it again.
There's a sliver of truth in everything anybody says to you.
So what do you mean?
Okay, you can be approached by the most... one of your coworkers, the most negative person you know, and they come up to you and they say, you're a blah, 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 blah. And you can say, well, that was pretty negative. I'm just going to flush that down the toilet. Mm-hmm. Or you can, as a self-aware leader, say, well, what can I learn from that? I'm going to take, 90% of it and flush it down the toilet. But what can I learn from that? Right? Like, what can I learn from what they're seeing in me that I'm not seeing in myself? And so I'm going to say, as a leader, like, you don't need to take everything and you don't need to internalize everything everybody says to you, but you need to consider everything everybody says to you. And there's a big difference from how we internalize it as truth and as gospel and how we learn from that.
How can that make me a better leader?
So there's this psychological term, Johori's window, that talks about there's four different parts of you. There's an open self where you know everything about yourself and Right. other people know it about you. There's a blind self where you know, there's another part that where others know this part about you, but you don't know this other part of you. And the goal of this exercise is to find out what's in your blind spot. So what do other people know about you that you don't know about yourself? And so if you're on this journey of understanding yourself better, which I think is very Christ-like, the Bible says know yourself. It's very helpful in psychological terms.
And we're always evolving and changing.
Correct.
We don't stay mm-hmm. the same.
Yeah. And so if you can understand more of what other people know about you, but you don't know about yourself, like, you're going to be better off. And so the idea should be, we should always be growing in that knowledge of ourselves. And one of the ways we can do that is by seeing people's criticism as feedback to help me understand myself. Now, if something really bothers you, go ask a friend, okay, so this person said I'm negative a lot. Like, is that true? Am I, a negative person? Because it could be dead wrong. It could be their perception of you, but at least gives you the opportunity to decipher, like, am I a little too negative? Like, but you ask somebody else that you trust about it. But that started because someone said something to you that, that caused you to think.
What happens when we listen to criticism with a defensiveness? If we're always defensive, we're always denying mm-hmm. all the D words, right?
Like, yeah.
What happens?
I mean, it's a lack of humility at one level, right? And then you're just going to be entrenched where you are. So, like, if your goal is to learn and grow and understand yourself better and lead better, then you always need to understand yourself better. And so criticism can help you understand yourself better, which is good for you and good for the kingdom and good for your family. And yeah.
How do I balance that so that I'm not like, anybody want to criticize me today? Where does the balance come?
I mean, I think you got to guard yourself. Like, there's days where you can't handle anything else. But I think when we're in a good place mentally and spiritually, like, we should accept that, because again, our identity isn't in what we do, it's in Jesus. But my sanctification is never done, so I can always grow. Sanctification is this big word of how every day I'm becoming a little more like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can speak to us through people that we like and people we don't like. And so I think the reality is that we need to work to be in a safe place where we can hear and listen to and digest and I'm going to say this, sort criticism. I think we should sort criticism, that I can learn something from this, or this is just malicious, or I don't really understand this yet, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this yet.
So there is a middle ground also. So when you said sort, hey, is this helpful for me?
Mm-hmm.
Can it make me better? This is garbage, and I'm just mm-hmm. this isn't truth, and I'm just going to let it go. And that middle ground that you just talked about.
Yeah, there might be.
I don't get it right now, but what do I have to learn? And I'm going to keep my eye on that.
Yeah. Even okay. So I've heard from one person that I'm this way. I don't think I am, but I don't know for certain that I'm not. So I'm going to listen to the trend in that. And if somebody else, a couple other people tell me that, then I need to explore that.
Which is hard.
Which is hard, yeah.
OK. because that's going to take some time for me to unpack and listen.
Yeah.
So where does our identity rooted in Christ, where does that play into all of this when we're sorting or being criticized or?
Yeah, that nobody's criticism can tell you who you are, because who you are is you're loved in Jesus. And what you're getting feedback on is what you do, not who you are, right? Like if I get feedback on a sermon, that's not who I am. Josh Kreppel is not ultimately a preacher. Josh Kreppel is a child of God. And so when I receive feedback on my sermon or on my leadership, I'm not being told who I am in Christ. Like nobody gets to do that but Jesus and his sacrifice. Mm. I'm being told about what I do. And what I do is valuable, but it's not who I am. And I think if we can separate those two in our criticism, we can receive criticism with a balance and calmness and a desire to learn about ourselves.
Okay, is it really that easy for you to do that? Like, you just defined that so beautifully, and I'm like, oh, I can loop on this stuff. This is hard for me.
No, it's not that easy. It's real. I can tell you the theory, but my journey is one of ups and downs, of one of counseling, of one of self-reflection, of one of needing people like my wife to remind me that, yeah, you're not how good you preached. Like, this is an endless journey. But the days I'm living in that space of, God, you've given me this. You've loved me in Christ. I can be so much more calm in my work and so much more productive in my work and so much. And so I'm always fighting for that. I'm always confessing and receiving God's grace in that, God, that hurt me because I find too much value in it. But I think when we're aware of that and at least walking in the gray of, this is hard, but I'm trying to lean into Christ and get what I need from him, not from people's approval or people's thoughts of me. Like, I'm in a better space when I'm doing that. But yeah, this is very easy to say theologically and very hard to live.
How do you respond when somebody comes at you with some criticism? And not just on your sermon, but when it goes deep, maybe to your leadership.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that? Because you know who you are, you know whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's still some pain.
Yeah. Well, the deeper question for me isn't how I respond in the moment. I think I'm actually naturally pretty good about that. Like, I'm naturally pretty good about saying, I need to think about that, or thanks for sharing that. And I think those are sometimes, like, if you are somebody that wants to defend, like, maybe just start there. Maybe just start by thanking somebody. Like, I don't think we need to always respond to criticism. We don't always need to defend ourselves. We don't always need to say why the other person's wrong. Sometimes we can just say, hey, thanks for sharing that. And I think if we do that, we're going to open ourselves actually to receive better criticism. Right, because we need to receive good criticism. And when we do that in a less combative way, we're going to receive, I think, better feedback from people. And they're not going to be as angsty when they come to us to share something with
us. Right, they see you as approachable.
Yeah, they see. So the last thing we want, I think, like if somebody thinks something about us, if we have a blind spot, we want to know about it, I think, as leaders. And so if you just thank people, if you just receive it calmly. Now, the problem for me is where I go with it after I receive it internally.
Right.
Like, and that's what I have to work on and shut down. I can't spin because someone's upset at my leadership. I can't spin because somebody agrees with a decision I made. I can't see it as my identity, but how can I work to improve the relationship? Because sometimes criticism means that a relationship was damaged. Like, how do I work to repair that? But also, what can I learn from it? So I think about some of the criticism that I got, we'll go here, from the cross, when we replaced our cross, which was emotional and heavy. Like, there's things that I could have done better. And I don't know that I'm ready to go to exactly what, but like there's things that I could have done better that I've learned from.
But you know what?
Yeah, I know okay. what. And I don't know I'm ready to unpack it on the podcast, but like
right.
that I've learned from that, I know that I can do better because, and the reason that I know those things is because I had people come to me and say, and one of them was communication. I thought we were communicating enough, but we weren't. And we could have communicated more during that time. And that's something I learned because people had the boldness to come to me, and tell me what was going on. And I had the calmness to not just say, nope, this is what we're doing, get on board or leave, but I had the boldness or the calmness to say, well, let me understand that better. I want to understand where you're coming from.
Which takes that humility, which takes that emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Both of the previous podcasts really tie into this.
Yeah, but I think probably, and I'll just say it, I don't think 6 years ago I would have had the ability, but for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit gave me the gift of, I was able to just pause. And I had good mentors in that, back to mentoring, that told me to calm down and just listen for feeling. Like when you're hearing criticism, listen for feeling, because what they're saying isn't necessarily true. And they may be dead wrong, but what they're feeling for them is very real. And so how do we, in the midst of that, listen to feel for feeling and find out what's behind?
And remember that this journey of leadership is lifelong.
Yep.
We don't arrive. Mm-hmm. We don't attain this perfection, this side of heaven. God's constantly teaching us the things that we need to learn or using other people to really speak that into us.
Yeah.
When I first came to Peace, it's very humbling to share this, but I had, I don't know who, but I had somebody leave a book on leadership in my box. They highlighted all the parts they really wanted me to understand in this book.
Oof.
And it was pretty crushing in the moment. It took me a long time to digest and to understand I wasn't a failure because that's how I wanted to view it at first. I was really young and I was very eager, but I was not doing a good job leading. I can say that now. What that did, it really did help me. It helped me slow down. It helped me think through some things.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wish they'd done it in person, but we also didn't have the relationship for them to do it in person.
Yeah.
So this was their best way to communicate that
to
me. I learned, I grew, but I've still made mistakes since then.
Yeah.
And I think if we look at ourselves as lifelong learners of leadership, even in the workplace, you're still learning how to do this also, that criticism can also be really impactful.
Yeah.
I think it's when we put our heads in the sand sometimes and we don't want to look at it.
Yeah, I think there's two really bad things we do with our leadership, and that say, well, no, I'm a perfect leader. No, who are they to tell me what to do? And the other is that we take it too far and we just say, I'm a failure. And can I just say, and that's my problem, and I'm just going to call it out in myself, like it's easier to say that I'm a failure because I don't have to work on it. Like if I'm a failure, then I'm hopeless and I can just wallow in that. But when I say, oh, here's actually something I can work on and where I can grow. Like that's a harder step to take. But again, we can take it because Jesus loves us where we are. He gives us the grace and the time and the space to move forward and grow. And I think like when we receive criticism and say, yeah, I can work on this. And this is a good thing because it doesn't change who I am. I'm valuable to Jesus, but I get to work and grow here. The criticism can be a beautiful thing in that way.
I have this picture of a car getting stuck in the mud. And when I got that book, I was just spinning wasn't going anywhere and I didn't want to.
Right.
And that wallowing was deep.
But
then when you start seeing it as an opportunity for growth, it really can. It can change your whole direction.
Yeah.
In relationship, I think that's the key. I'm not sure leaving a book in somebody's box is the way to go. That was the way they chose to go, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I think when you have a relationship with somebody and they come in and they're like, hey, I wish you'd done this a little bit different, that's mileage. That's
yeah. Mileage. And I think there is, I've heard pastors talk about it. There's different spheres of like criticism where you're going to take it more seriously. So like if Sarah tells me something, like I'm going to take that with utmost seriousness.
Right.
If, like my father-in-law, who's a mentor, if says something, takes it with the utmost serious. Like if one of my staff members says something, I'm going to take that seriously versus let's go all the way down the list. Like somebody, we have this from time to time. Somebody leaves a note taped to the church door in a letter and has this big, long diatribe of all these things we need to do. And it's not handwritten. It's typed out where they probably did it with 100 churches. Like that's going straight to the trash, right? Like they're calling.
And why is that?
Well, because I don't even have a relationship with them. And so I think like the reality is that there are certain people that we do take their criticism seriously. Like if it's a member, a part of our faith family that's been active, like I'm going to give them the time to sit down and talk with me. And I want to know what's going on versus an anonymous email. I'm probably going to kind of disregard like an anonymous email. Now, again, maybe a book. And I, you know, it sounds like for you, that was the right thing.
It was a game changer, but it took me a little bit to get there.
Yeah. But so I think, you know, so we have to understand, we do have to ask who's the criticism from, and that's a part of our sorting as well.
Is there ever a place for us to criticize? Because a lot of the people listening are high management, high leaders in their workplace. Mm-hmm. And is there a time when you need to sit somebody down and give criticism?
So I think our goal should be walking in that, not how do we criticize them, but how do we help them grow? And so I think if we can walk in it with that and go back to the emotional intelligence, how do we work on our emotions in the situation to help them grow? But yeah, I think like I've been blessed by lay leaders who have taken me aside that have more leadership than I will ever have. They have more leadership in their little finger than I will ever have. And they've taken me aside and asked me for something. But the key component there is when they asked it, not because they needed something from me, but because they wanted me to grow. And so that's what I would encourage you, like criticism, probably not, but wanting
criticism for the sake of criticism.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But criticism, again, it could come off of because you can't, you come in and talk to me and you can want to be shepherding me or leading me or helping me, but I can receive it as criticism. So you can't control how they receive it, but your goal and your heart has to be, how do I see something in this person where I think they have the opportunity to grow, and I love them enough and know them enough to believe that I can be a person that can help them. How can I step alongside of them and help them grow? I think that's really helpful. But then on the other part, there is times where, and this can be criticism too, where you've been hurt by someone and you do need to go to them and say, this hurt me. And that's I would say that's different, right? There's I've been hurt here, and we need to have some reconciliation, some forgiveness. And I think there's a place where I can help you grow. And sometimes they'll come together. Like sometimes the both will come out of it. But I think those two are a little bit separate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there seems like a very wide spectrum of criticism in leadership.
Yeah.
There's the, hey, get your job done. You know, mm-hmm. You've got to do this and you didn't do this right.
Yeah.
These figures are not lining up and it messed up our project. To, I think there's some things about yourself that I'm seeing that I've got some feedback, if you're open to it, that might help you.
Yeah.
Like it's a very wide, broad thing.
It is. And I think, and I guess I would really, though, I'd still put it down to two categories. Like, even if the problem is, hey, you had these figures wrong, you need to shape up. Like, how do I come alongside you and help you see maybe a blind spot and help you see how you can grow here? I mean, I would still approach it like that versus there is a place where sometimes we need to share feedback, share criticism because we've been hurt. And I think those two things in my mind are very different. But I think most of the times where we see a need for somebody to grow or we see a blind spot in them, I think the best thing is to come alongside of them and say, you know, I think I know you enough that I can help you grow here, versus I was hurt here and we need to work through this. Those are two different things, I think.
And again, it goes back to relationship. Relationship's huge.
And in both of them, our goal is to repair the relationship, right? To have a stronger relationship. Again, I'm still so grateful for, I've talked about him before, but Ted, who came alongside me and said, hey, you weren't unanxious with leasing the youth praise band. You let your emotions get the best of you in that situation. Like, I think you can do better. And again, there's a part, it was concerning his daughter. So there's a part in it. He had something to gain and lose from that, but he could still just have the wherewithal to come alongside of me and say, you know, you're a young leader. I want to help you grow. And that's what came through loud and clear. It wasn't like, you hurt my daughter, I'm pissed at you. He could have been, but it was very much a, I see where you could grow here. Let me help you.
And that was around scheduling, right?
Yeah, it had to do with students were supposed to be at praise band practice. They said they were going to be there and then they didn't show up. So I'm left scrambling to how do I have Sunday service when these kids abandoned me and ditched me. And so I felt right, the angst of that. But then I let the angst out loud and I hurt students' relationship with one another that wasn't good, which is actually more damaging than them not being there that Sunday. And so he came alongside and taught unanxious. That's when I really learned non-anxious presence.
Yeah.
He wanted me to be better. Yes, for the sake of his daughter. Yes, for the sake of himself. But ultimately, like, I got the feeling in that he wanted me to be better for me. And again, that's positive for him, because if I'm a better leader, then I'm better for him and his daughter, and he has some vested interests. But like, do we often do that in criticism? Do we come alongside people and say, I think I can help you grow? And there's a little bit of pain here for me.
Yeah.
And he didn't even say that. He could have, but there's a little pain here for me because it's personal. But and maybe he did, and I don't even remember it. I just remember this feeling of, oh, he wants me to be better. And now that I've thought about it, I know there's pain for him in here, for him in that situation. But like, how do we do that with people? And then how do we as leaders be open when people want to do that? Because that's the criticism we want. But aren't we open when people come to us? Or do we jump straight to, oh, they're saying I'm not good enough?
Right.
Like, that's jumping to yourself. So get off yourself.
Or we start the slow swirl.
Yeah. Get off yourself. Get off your own high horse and just receive people that want to build you up.
So to wrap it up, criticism can be helpful if done in relationship, if given the time to unpack, and ultimately, do you want to help somebody be better?
Yeah.
And can you do it in a way that will really bless them and help them?
Yeah. Yeah. And for me as a leader, even when you don't criticize me the way that I want to be criticized, it can still be helpful. But I got to work through it. I got to process it. I got to go back to Christ and my identity in Him.
Yeah. I've got some criticism for you following this. So,
okay, let's go.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We loved spending time with you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.